Welcome back to our 15th episode.
Woohoo! 15.
Wow. 15 isn't that much, but it's a lot to us.
Yeah.
There's like podcasts out there that have like 100 episodes.
Well, like it takes time. It's okay. We do one episode each week.
Yes. Well, welcome back.
So, how have you been? It's been like, what, 3 days since...
It's been 3 days. I know. I've been feeling... I'm feeling better than last... than 3 days ago. Yeah, it's so weird. Like, I'm home alone today because my boyfriend is in person at work today, which is wild to me.
Oh, whoa.
I know. So, because since he started working, it was remote. And, like, today is his first day back at work. I was, like, packing his, like, lunch yesterday and, like, packing a little breakfast for him or, like, little snacks.
Oh, my God. A mom.
I know. He was really nervous to, like, pack his bag and stuff. So he was like, can you pack with me? So I just stood there and watched him pack his, like,
bag. Wait, why is he nervous?
I don't know. It's the first day back in the office. Like, he's never met his coworkers in person before. But I know, so
aww.
Home alone, I know. And then, yeah, I feel better. I finally am able to go on runs now because my knees have healed and I'm so happy. And I went on I pushed myself really hard yesterday and it was so nice because it's been so long since I ran and I like running keeps me sane. So I'm glad. But yeah, that's me. Not much has happened since Sunday. How about you?
Me neither. Well, I finished. So I've been binging a lot of Netflix recently. So, and I finished Manifest. Have you heard of that show?
Is it K-drama?
No. American show. And it's about this like group of passenger who was on an airplane and then all of a sudden, there's like super strong turbulence on the plane, and then when they landed, they realized it was 5 years later. The plane went missing for 5 years, and everyone thought they died, but then they came back.
And it's then, like the blip.
Yeah. And then, but then afterwards, they're getting all these like visions and like hearing things. It's more like a sobbing crime thriller sci-fi show.
Oh,
there
like
are two
that,
seasons, and I already finished it in like I don't know.
Oh my gosh! Yes,
but it's really.
I feel that. Okay, yeah. Manifest.
Yeah, it's like number two on like Netflix. Yeah,
is it also, new?
Well, no. The second season is new on Netflix.
I think there's a
season three. That is not on Netflix. Anyways,
I am going to watch this.
Yeah. Speaking of shows, I'm also super excited today because it's Wednesday. And what does that mean?
Loki!
Wednesday means Loki and Handmaid's Tale. So I have two shows that I can watch.
I'm
going to
watch both. Yes. Yeah, we've been watching Loki too every week. And
you really like it?
I really like it, yeah. It's interesting, well, it's even though the timeline stuff is kind of confusing.
It's really confusing. The timeline, oh my gosh. Like, so literally, the show is like 40 minutes, right? And my dad and I would spend like another hour just to watch explain videos.
Oh my god, us too, yeah. Yeah. I think we spent more time watching breakdown videos for WandaVision, though. This is easier to understand. But yeah, wow, Netflix. Speaking of Netflix, I just finished OJ versus the People or the People versus OJ on Netflix.
Is it good?
Because it's so, well, I mean, it's like documenting, you know, what happened with the OJ Simpson trials. But then it's so interesting because there's so much intersection between like race and class in this lawsuit. And it's like, for me personally, like just because I was listening to a podcast about it. And just, like, hearing the facts and stuff, I'm like, this is so obvious that he did it. But then I think because the OJ is a black man and he's a celebrity and, like, that really played a factor into how the defendant, like, lawyers defended him with, like, saying that it's racially, like the police are racist and they planted the evidence so that to frame a black man. Because the police at the time, like, I mean, same thing as now, white policemen are, like, racist and treat black people very badly. Mm-hmm. So it was just so interesting to watch and made me, like, reflect on how even though OJ is a black man, which is a marginalized identity in the U.S., his, like, wealthy class celebrity status, like, really helped him. So, like, that class intersection. And then also, like, them using his black identity as, like, an advantage. Anyways, this is, yeah, it's really good. I'm really into it right now. I'm still listening to the podcast. Okay,
that might be the next show I'm going to binge.
Yes, it's hard. I feel like it's hard to understand. Because, like, not growing up here, you know, there's a lot of things that I feel like I don't really have the context of. So I'd say listen to a podcast and then watch. Because I watched it once before and I didn't understand. Anyways.
Yeah. I feel like, though, a lot of times, like, right now, I'm still reading Obama's book, The Promised Land. And it's so freaking long. But, like, it does, like, help me understand America a little more than I did before. It's really interesting.
Yeah, sometimes I like don't know things that I feel like are common knowledge.
Yeah,
people
yeah,
who are in the U.S. should know. Yeah. And then I feel bad, and then I'm like, oh, but I didn't grow up here. But I think that excuse can only get me so far. So I'm like,
oh my gosh, like, I have the same feeling.
Yeah, because it's like I see people who are also immigrants and, like, not from here, and they know a lot about those things, too. So I'm like, it's really on me to, like, learn.
Educate.
So, yes.
Yeah, me too.
I'm glad you feel the same way, but yes, let's move on.
Yeah, we have a very exciting this or that question this week. We're talking about, like, our Hong Kong childhood snack, and that is Mommy Monster Noodles versus Papi Grilled Corn Crackers. Okay, I'm going to say it in Kanto because it sounds so weird in English.
Yes.
So the first one is Mommy Mean versus Sogyesil. You know what they are, props to you.
If you know. That should be a TikTok. Yeah. Tell me you grew up in Hong Kong without telling me you grew up in Hong Kong. And then just all the snacks. But wait, to explain mommy meat, like mommy noodles is basically like fried instant noodles. Like it's like an instant noodle packet where you like just the dry noodles. And then there's like a seasoning packet, like how you would have in instant noodles. You put the seasoning in, you crush it up, and then you shake it so it like mixes well. And then you eat it like you eat dry noodles. And I used to say that to people, like mommy meat is my favorite snack growing up. And people would think I was weird, I think, whenever, like, I told them, like, I really like mommy.
It's so good.
Not in Hong Kong, like, just in general to other people who are not from here. Oh, they're so good.
Oh.
So you know what I would choose already? Mommy Mean. I do love Sogyesil, though.
Oh.
But I like the the MSG packet in Mommy Mean. I would eat that on its own sometimes. It's so good.
It just reminded me, my mom is a very, like, what's the word? Like, why is like, she loves to eat, like, fried food and, like, snack and stuff. And yesterday, my dad was, like, making instant noodles. And I think that instant noodle can be eaten, like, just raw with, like, the noodles. And then my mom just stole some of it to eat.
Yes. Yeah. People think it's so weird, but it's, like, it's so good. Try it.
Yeah.
Try it.
They have another brand. Huh?
They have another brand that is also like that, like edible, just out of the...
Is it?
No. It's like, yeah, they have that one too, but you can't cook that one. There's one that you can cook and you can eat, like as a snack. I don't remember what it's called, but I think they sell it here too. We'll let you know, but you should go try it if you haven't. It's so good.
Yeah. Okay, so me, I think I'll pick Sogyesil, the grilled corn crackers because I have like bad memories from Mommy Mean growing up just because I love how it tastes, but I think there is like too much GMO in it that like when I was in primary school, whenever I eat Mommy Mean, I'll always get sick the next day. I'll start having sore throat, and then the next day I'll get sick.
It's so, the sodium.
Yeah. So I like, even though I really like the taste of it, I like try to like avoid not to eat it too much. But yeah, grilled corn crackers, so guess it's really good too, I think. I also just love the powder on the thing.
Mm-hmm. The spicy one. I used to eat the spicy flavor. They do taste like grilled corn. I never like thought of it. I didn't know what they were. which I should have known, because sokmai. Siu.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well, now I know.
Sell it here in Chinatown too.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, I went to a Taiwanese like cafe yesterday, and they had so many like you know how like a lot of chip flavors are really special in like Asia, East Asia at least. So they were selling a lot of those. They had like sadetong like flavored Lays. They had like shrimp flavored Lays, and I was like, wow, I miss.
Yeah. A lot of good flavors. Okay. Oh, wow.
We're going to get...
get to the serious topic.
I know. We are going to talk about COVID. Yes. Because California just reopened, like a week ago, on June 15th. And how do we feel about that?
So, honestly, like, okay, personally, I feel like is like, I feel happy that the mask mandate is lifted, just because so I don't have to wear a mask outdoor at least anymore. So I'll be more comfortable with, like, maybe when there's not so many people around me, then I'll take off my mask. But like when I go indoors and stuff, I still wear a mask. However, you know, I'm still kind of frustrated by how the administration handle it, because we don't know. So the mask mandate is lifted, but we don't know if people are vaccinated. So it works in an honor system. So we don't know. People can just be anti-vaxxer, and then they can be not wearing masks and still passing the virus around people. To people. And yeah, I think it's kind of, yeah, I'm still frustrated at that. But then in general, honestly, it's kind of weird that, you know, like just seeing people not wearing masks on the street. Like, I'll say, like, at least 50% of people on the street are not wearing masks anymore. And I honestly get kind of scared sometimes. Like, the other day I was in Golden Gate Park, and there was this kid who was, you know, just like talking and like joking with his mom, and then all of a sudden he was like, pfft. And then I was like, he was right behind me, and then I got so scared, because I'm like, oh my god, I'm scared. And then if people like around me like cough and are not wearing masks, I'll also be very scared. Oh, actually, there's this one. I went to Bed Bath and Beyond the other day, and then I bought a candle, and then at a cashier, that person out of nowhere smelled my candle, even though it was with a mask. But then I was like, why are you smelling my candle? She was literally like putting it like so close to her face to smell it. I'm sure she doesn't have any bad intention, but then at that moment I was just like, I'm uncomfortable.
Yikes. Yeah.
So yeah,
it's scary time.
Yeah, it just feels kind of weird that, like, okay, things are quote-unquote normal, you know?
It feels so weird. Like, at the same time, it's, like, liberating, but also at the same time, it's, like, worrisome. Because, like, even with, yeah, you said it's, like, an honor system. Like, I know some family members of mine, because of, like, immune system because of their immune system, it's really weak. They can't get vaccinated. And I'm really worried for them to go out to store if people are not forced to wear masks. Not forced, if people don't have to wear masks, like, even outdoors, because it's, like, I don't know if you are vaccinated or not, and two layers, like, is just way more protective than one. Like, if the person who can't get vaccinated is wearing a mask, that, like, you know, that's, like, half the protection than it can be. So I think that's just really sad, and it's scary, and I'm worried, and, yeah, and, like, I don't know, it's, I just feel like it's so soon.
I think it's okay to lift the mask mandate if you have a very, like, if you figure out a system where, you know, like, people who are vaccinated can not wear a mask, and then people who are not vaccinated are wearing masks. Like, it can be very, very easily implemented, I feel like, if without
I think so too, yeah.
Inside it.
But,
like,
who knows,
you have
though?
All the technology. But who knows? You have all the technology. You
oh, that's
apps.
True, that's true.
You can use QR code. And I know that California right now, they're doing this digital vaccination.
Yeah, I saw that.
Right,
yeah.
Now. And I know it's not mandatory, even though, well, personally, I think it should be, it can be, like, we, in terms of public health, I think we should just leave the politics out of it. Mm-hmm. But, you know, like, I think because there are a lot of controversy around vaccine passport that is not possible to implement in the U.S., but it can be very easily implemented. We have the technology to do it.
Yeah, at least I know, like, a lot of restaurants are doing that. Like, for people who are vaccinated, you can go in without a mask. But then if you're not, you have to wear a mask. So I guess that's good.
What, do they check?
I don't know. I don't think so. They just have signs up. I guess they expect people to follow.
Yeah, but, so it's still an honor system.
Yeah, but I feel like even... I think during COVID, like, with the 6 feet and, like, keeping distance, I actually really enjoyed that, because I feel like sometimes the people in the U.S. can, like, intrude on your personal space a lot. And
yeah.
So, like, because I went to Disneyland, like, before it fully reopened, before June 15th, right? And there were still social distancing markers and stuff. But I think because people were already vaccinated, like, people weren't being as cautious as they should be and weren't following, like, the markings on the floor. And so, like, I still felt like my personal space was, like, there was this guy who was behind us who kept, like, bumping into us. He was, like, very having fun with his family. And he kept, like, moving and bumping into us. And even people who, like, were lining up behind us at the time when, like, we still had to keep distance, like, they were still, like, really close to us. And I was, like, do you see the floor? And, like, just in general, I feel... And then, like, when Disney reopened, there were videos coming out of how crowded Disney was.
Yeah.
And how many people weren't wearing masks. And that was so scary.
Yeah.
And I was, like, even after COVID, we should respect people's personal space just in general.
Yeah. Like... There's also a video in LAX. It was like a Monday morning in LAX. And then
like
it was
people
like
flying.
So crowded. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was crazy. Yeah, scared.
Yeah, so I'm not excited for that. Like, not having personal space. But.
Yeah. They're just like.
Yeah, it's a scary time.
Yeah. And it's also, I think it's kind of interesting how, like, my habit just totally changed over the year. Like. Right now that when I go out, whenever I touch something that is not, like, my own personal belongings, like, I touch a door, like, a button, you know, I have to wash my hand. I have to sanitize my hand right afterwards.
I think we should still keep those habits.
Yeah.
Like, I think those are still important. And, like, we always wash our hands, like, after we come back from outside. We always, sanitize when we get back into the car.
Mm-hmm.
We always have hand sanitizer.
Yeah.
We used to disinfect all our groceries, but now we've stopped doing that.
Uh-oh.
But yeah, I feel like there's some habits that we still should keep. It's also like, I'm just so annoyed with the mask thing, because you know how, like, in Hong Kong when we're sick,
mm-hmm.
even with, like, a cough or something, I would wear a mask to school. Like, it wasn't like I had to, but I wanted to because I didn't want other people around me getting sick.
Yeah.
And I would not share food with people. I would, like, not be too close with people mm-hmm. if I was sick. Like, mm-hmm. I still wanted to make sure that even though it's, like, a cough or, like, whatever, it's still, like, I respect other people's health.
Yeah.
And I just don't understand why we can't do that here in the U.S. Like, I feel like masks should be something that people continue doing if they are sick. Not necessarily mm-hmm. COVID, like, in the future.
Yeah.
Now that masks are introduced to the U.S.
It's very interesting. You know? I think this transitioned very well into, like, our conversation about why and how the U.S. handled COVID so badly. And then we can also compare it to your experiences in Hong Kong.
Yes. Yes, yes. I think, well, when I was talking about the mask thing,
uh-huh.
I think that people here are unwilling to comply with the government laws because for some reason, some people think public health is a personal issue. Like, don't take things too personally, bro. It's not about you.
It's honestly, about it's everyone's not about health. You. Well, it's about you and everyone else. No, it's about your own health.
Yeah, if you don't care about, if you don't care about yourself, at least care about, like, everyone else.
Yeah. Oh, no. Oh, my gosh. I just get, like,
but yeah.
I can feel this anger in me right now. Just, I'm like,
oh, yeah, because
I hate Trump.
So, like, when, like, COVID first, like, the lockdown first happened in March, right? Like, mid-March. And the mask mandate happened. People were protesting. Well, people at first were protesting the stay-at-home order, and then people were protesting the mask mandate.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Like, this is unrelated, but a few days ago, I saw a news in France. Apparently, there was a riot of people protesting because they were having a party. Like, they were throwing, like, bombs. Not, like, bombs, like, heyaodan. Gas bombs? I don't know. There was a riot because, like, the police are stopping the people from having a big party. And then it turned into, like,
oh this whole God. Big thing. In France?
I think so, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I know France is, like, France is reopening, like, travel
yeah, to the U.S., yeah, but I don't think you're allowed to. Like, it was a big party.
Oh, my gosh.
Like, people are rioting because they want a party. Like, hello?
Why? I just, like, I'm gonna be removing myself from, like, partying situations with people I don't know. But, yeah, these protests and these, like, uproars against not wearing a mask obviously is because of our poor leadership that we had when everything happened, which is unfortunate because we could have done so much better. Like, we could have handled the situation so much better.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't think we have to tell everyone, like, how Trump handled the situation and how he called it the Chinese virus and how he...
The Kung Flu. Called it the Kung Flu.
Yeah. Also, he just did not wear a mask. No. Even when he was running, when he was campaigning to run for president again, he was not wearing a mask. And then he got COVID. And then his wife got COVID. And then everyone in the White House got COVID, which made me laugh.
I'm just so mad at him. Like, I'm glad that I don't have to see him on TV every day now.
He's gone. He's like...
Well, I hope he's gone. Please don't come back.
I feel like he needs to be held accountable for what he's done to the country.
Yeah.
But he's a rich white man. He is somewhere off in, like, vacation home or something. But yeah, these anti-mask protests, like... I know a lot of people were complaining that they can't breathe in the masks and stuff.
Yeah, they are. They were.
But it's like...
They are.
Yeah, and we're so annoyed.
Yeah, sorry. I'm just, like, so annoyed and, like, angry. Like, I feel like we could have done so much better. We have so much more time to prepare for it.
We really did. We really did, yeah. We had, like, a chance to learn from what other countries were doing as well. Like...
Mm-hmm.
We really did.
And, yeah, I think another thing I think we should take into consideration is also, like, yes, like, the leadership is doing a bad job, but also, like, social media and a news outlet, you know, which one we're talking about, are feeling that, you know, like, people who are watching Fox News every day probably also believe that, well, a lot of the anti-masker, they really don't believe in the severity of the coronavirus. Like, they always have that theory of, you know, like, a lot of people die from flu every year. So
the flu?
So COVID is not that different. Like, why are we overreacting? And some people also feel like it's an infringement of their personal liberty because you have to wear a mask.
I don't understand this. I really don't understand this.
I think, yes, like, of course, personal liberty is important, but there is a certain point where you have to draw the line. You shouldn't be, you shouldn't be, like, endangering other people for personal
liberty. I think
that's not really democracy, right?
I think this is a very U.S. thing, just because, like, U.S. prides itself on freedom. Yeah. And I think a lot of people born here, at least a lot of privileged white people mm-hmm. who have grown up here, like, think that they are entitled to that. And I don't see anyone in Hong Kong, at least when I was there, complaining about their rights being infringed upon when we had to wear a mask. I think Asia is just very collective in that mindset.
Yeah.
Versus, like, here, it's a very individualistic thing.
I think it's a... Now I'm thinking about it, I feel like it's also an education thing, right? What I'm trying to say is, like, there is a certain point where you need to draw the line of where your, like, individual freedom should go, right? There should be boundaries. And I feel like people are using the name of personal liberty to do literally anything they think they're entitled to, even when it's endangering other people. Like, they're using, almost like abusing the notion of personal liberty. And I feel like it is an education thing that people need to learn where the boundaries are. Like, oh, and then in our research, I actually also, like, talk about how, you know, like, public education about public health is not enough in the US. Like, how you said, like, people here, when they're sick, they don't really wear a mask.
Yeah.
But it's something that you should do.
Yeah, for respect for other people. And just some of the conspiracy theories of why people don't want to wear a mask. I'll just read some, because here are some that I read. They mm-hmm. think that it's a political stunt. They think that the virus was engineered in a lab in China.
They still think that.
Which I laugh, because it's just so ridiculous, and they think that wealthy elites are using the virus to profit from
the vaccine. That one is funny. They think Bill Gates is behind it.
It's just wild to me how, like, you don't want to believe something and acknowledge something so much to the point where you come up with these, like, outrageous conspiracy theories. Like, how desperate are you to just not wear a mask? I mean, it's not just because they don't want to wear a mask, but
yeah, I think a big thing about conspiracy theory is that, like, there's usually this little truth that certain people, they kind of alter it and also, like, how do you call it, like, magnified it, like, 1,000+, and make it into, like, a big problem. So I read about how the reason why they think Bill Gates, like, planted a microchip in it is because at the beginning, I think when they're, when, like, Bill Gates is doing a lot of, like, vaccination, invention and stuff.
Trials. Oh, okay.
Yeah, invention and stuff. And then at the beginning, I think, like, at some point, he was trying to kind of, like, make a marker in a vaccine for the refugees, because refugees, they don't have, like, a vaccine card or whatever. But when refugee enter a new country, you need to know whether they're, like, vaccinated or not. So then they added a marker in a vaccine so you can identify where, I don't know if they have the antibodies or not, so you can quote unquote, like, track those people, you know. But then it wasn't a microchip to, like, track all of us. It was, isn't just that this just little thing. It's like, yeah. Okay, you know how we have the marks here?
Yeah.
It's like cringe, the same thing.
Yeah, I think this whole conspiracy theory of that the government is planting microchips into us, not just because of COVID, I think just in general, like even before, this like rhetoric has already been present in the US, and just people, for some reason, just, yeah, distrust the government to an extent. And yeah, there's just so many like TikToks of people like sticking a magnet to their arm
after getting vaccinated. Oh my god.
I don't know if they're serious or if it's a meme, but I assume they're like memeing, because I don't think I would get on that other side of TikTok.
Yeah, it was so funny. I saw this one TikTok. It was like this like mom, I don't know how old she is, like probably like 50-60, and then like she was putting all the like kitchen utensil all over her, like a bowl on her head.
Oh my god.
A lot of different things. And then her son asked her, "What are you doing, mom?" It was supposed to be a meme video, by the way. And then
she said,
I saw a TikTok about about how getting vaccinated can make you magnetized.
Oh my god.
That's so funny. Like how do you even believe in that?
You have to be very, I think, yeah. I was going to say you have to be very extreme to believe in that, but
there are people who believe in that.
I feel like there are more people believe in that than we think. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I didn't grow up with science and vaccines, and like I don't know much about the science behind vaccines and whatever. I still don't think that, like, even me being uneducated in vaccines, I can't even, that just seems like a joke to me. So I'm so curious how people like find that real, but I guess people surprise us. I mean, in contrast to how the US is handling it, I was in Hong Kong when, like, last summer, like in August to March. So in 2020 to 2021, so like when COVID was happening and stuff, and obviously I had to fly back through the whole quarantine process, and cases were low, things were normal, and just like that contrast just surprises me of how people are handling it. Like, first of all, everyone was willing to wear masks, no protests, nobody. I mean, Hong Kong had other things to deal with other than COVID, but also in terms of COVID, like, everyone's so used to it. Everyone's so used to protecting other people when there's a health issue. And I mean, even just like Wuhan, right? Where whatever, the COVID first outbreak happened there. The first reported outbreak happened there. And since March of 2020, there has been no new cases of COVID, which really surprised me, actually. Like, they handled it really well. They contained it really well. And since then, it's been zero.
Yeah.
And then you look at US's numbers of like death tolls, like in June, like it passed the 100,000 mark of deaths. I think now there's I mean, way more.
Like, if the number is still high if you're comparing to like Hong Kong.
Yeah, there's like 3 million infections, probably more at this point. And one of my friends flew from Hong Kong to the U.S. in January of 2021, which is, like, what COVID has been going on for almost a year at that point.
I think.
And she didn't have to do
January or, like, December was, like, the peak of it.
Yes, a year. US. So it's been a year. And she actually didn't have to do any kind of COVID test before she got on the plane, which is, like, isn't that common procedure? Hello? By the U.S., which actually really surprised me, because they only enacted it end of January, like that COVID testing. So when I flew back, I had to do the COVID testing thing. But even then, like after I came back, I didn't have to do any sort of COVID testing, any sort of mandatory quarantine. Like, I just quarantined at home, in quotations, like quarantine, because nobody cares if you leave or not.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So it's like, I know people are complaining about people coming in from these countries during COVID, but then at the same time, it's like, you can't complain if the U.S. isn't doing anything about it for these people in terms of COVID. Mm-hmm. And when I flew back to Hong Kong, I'll just kind of go through the procedure. I had to get like a COVID test 72 hours beforehand, and then They were really strict at the time. Hong Kong, like, the airlines had to be so strict. A lot of people were turned away. There were three documents that you had to have. One of them was your COVID test negative results. You had to match your passport exactly. And then one is the certification of the lab. And there was one more. I don't remember what that was. But then I actually almost didn't get on the plane because my name on my report didn't match my passport name exactly. And then I had to, like, call the doctor to, like, reissue me one, like, when we were, like, checking in the flight. It was really hectic. And then we got on the flight. I think that time it was peak COVID time, like, very, very peak COVID time. So nobody was flying, I don't think. Like, barely anyone was on the flight. Everyone was tested negative. When we got there, we had to take a COVID test right when we landed. And then we... I think I landed at 6 a.m. And then by the time I got my COVID results back, it was 2 p.m. So they took a while. And then we had to go to the hotel immediately to quarantine. Oh, the third document that the plane needed was the hotel, like, information that you have hotel booked. Yeah, so 2 weeks we were spent in the hotel. We had these, like, bracelets that had sensors, so... You had to scan the bracelet, like, on the room, like, in the room circumference to make sure that you don't exit. Even one time, I was, like, peeking my head out into the hallway to, like, get some air. Like, my body wasn't out of the hallway, and someone told me to get back inside. And couldn't open the windows. So it was really, really strict. And we did. We had to take our temperature, like, every single day to track whether we had symptoms, and then... I think at the 1 week mark, we did another COVID test. And then before we left, we did another COVID test, like, in the hotel room. Yeah, so very, very strict. So it baffles me that the U.S. didn't have one until end of January of 2021.
Yeah, we have no, like, quarantine procedures, too. Like, it's also just an honor system. You know, you quarantine yourself. But if you don't, no one would know.
Yeah, and also, just, like, Hong Kong, at least in my experience, because I can only speak to that, I think did a really good job at handling it. Like, even though the U.S. has a lot of people, Hong Kong is extremely dense, and you can't really stay 6 feet from other people, especially if you are taking public transportation, which is the main mode of transportation. And so it surprises me how actually it hasn't been that bad in Hong Kong yet.
Because of masks. I think
the highest number of... And everything was normal. Like, there was no lockdown. I think there was lockdown before I came back.
Regional. I'm not sure. Like, only for, like, a building or, like, there when there is a confirmed case in one building, there will be a lockdown on that building for, like, 21 days.
Yeah, but then other than that, like, and then they had, so they, Hong Kong, like, enforces... tongs, like number of people that you can dine in together. So I think when I first got back, it was two people. And then once COVID got better, it was like four people, six people. More people could eat out together. At one point, I think dinners, like you couldn't dine out for dinner and you can only do takeout. But then they slowly relaxed it as it got better. The highest number of cases I think Hong Kong had when I was there was like less than 100, like 70, 80 per day.
Yeah. I think... at peak, it was definitely less than 200.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which was, like, in the earlier times. And even then, most of the time when I was there, it was, like, below 20 cases. Sometimes below 10. It reached, like, a few days of zero cases. Everything was back to normal.
Yeah. I think now it has been, I mean, more than 2 weeks since we last have a local infection.
I know people are worried about, like, the India strain. And I think they found someone who had it in Hong Kong.
Yeah, in Hong Kong. Yeah, they did.
But, like, as you said,
I'm scared of it here, too.
I know. I read somewhere that they said in August there might be another wave of COVID. But apparently your vaccine protects you against variants as well, so.
Hopefully, please.
I know. Get a booster shot. But yeah, like you said, like, districts get shut down to have people mandatory test because people are living in such close proximity to each other. They share the same water system, the same, like, pipes and stuff. So Yeah, they closed down whole districts. They actually put money into making everyone get tested, even though the results aren't, like, effective.
That good.
Yeah, because, like, nobody had COVID, even with the testing. And then, like, when I was there, towards the time I was leaving, they started a thing called Onsum Chathang, like an app where you scan, like, if you're on a taxi, you scan the QR code. If you're at a restaurant, you scan their QR code. And you basically, like, log yourself in to say, oh, I've been here. And when you leave, you log out. So there's a time frame. And if some outbreak happens in, like, in that taxi or in the restaurant, then you go get tested. Like, you have to go mandatorily get tested. But I think people stopped using that because they think that the government can get our information from the app and track us. So, I mean, even Hong Kong, there's a huge mistrust in the Hong Kong government, which makes sense. And the restaurant started providing little slips of paper where you can write your name and your phone number so they can contact you if something happens. So then people started doing that. I don't know if this app is still in use now. I assume so.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so. But I don't know how many people are actually using it.
I know.
I know a lot of people are reluctant to use it.
I know my parents aren't using it. I didn't use it. I used it for a little bit, and then I didn't use it after that.
I think, well, I think, like, one of the biggest reasons why people are more willing to wear a mask and also follow any COVID regulation is because of the SARS outbreak in 2003. I think that outbreak really haunted a lot of Hong Kong people. And because of that, the government also had experience in terms of how to handle a pandemic.
Yeah.
So there are already procedures before that they can reference when the COVID started.
Yeah.
And honestly, I feel like we talked about, like, public health education. It's also very important because since a very young age, I feel like we're already taught to wear a mask whenever we're sick. I know people, like my aunt, like she's like a germophobia, and then she'll just wear a mask whenever she goes to like a public setting, you know, just on a minibus or something.
Yeah.
So mask is not that big of a deal.
Yeah, exactly. In Hong Kong. Like, we've known masks for so long. That's true. Like, we've had other stuff too, like H5N1 outbreak. We've had Zhidaogam. Like, we've had Kamoga. We have, like, and SARS is, like, the biggest one. Do you remember much about that time? I think it was more intense than COVID. Like, I think.
I remember.
Because we were, like, so young.
Being so happy because I didn't have to go to school.
I know, me too. Me too. I remember, like, Zhidaogam was when I was in sixth grade. And I remember that our swimming meet, like swimming gala, like swimming competition that we had annually was canceled. And I was really happy because I didn't want to go swim. But
yeah, I think I remember like back then whenever there's like some kind of flu in Hong Kong, like we have to measure our temperature whenever it's flu season. I think we have to measure our temperature before we go to school.
I had to do it every day.
We're not sick. Yeah, me too.
Sometimes I just put a random one. I just like made it up.
Me too.
Yeah.
But those are the things that we learn growing up.
I feel like it's like with SARS, for some reason, I feel like it was more of a big deal in my memory than COVID. Maybe because I was...
Because the death rate is a lot higher. Not the death rate, what's the word? Like the mortality rate? It's a lot more deadly. So it's like if you have SARS, like I think there's a big chance that you're gonna die.
Yeah,
really scared.
Yeah, I know a lot. Like I remember a lot of like doctors and nurses died during SARS as well.
Yeah,
and well, now California, I mean, in what, like a year ago, I would say, like, they started the trials for vaccines, right? And they actually put it out in late last year, like December, I would say.
I think so, yeah.
A lot of healthcare workers got vaccinated at the time, and elderly got vaccinated at the time. So, And yes. Yeah, and now Hong Kong has it too. I think in the U.S., a lot of people, at least like in California, a lot of people have gotten vaccinated already. I know different states have different numbers, but Hong Kong has very low numbers of vaccination.
I think the other day I was listening to the news, and I think around 65% of adult in the U.S. has at least one dose.
Yeah, yeah, I've heard some sort of statistic as well, like that. I know, it's so interesting how
it's pretty high.
Every country is different. I haven't looked much into other places, actually, of, like, what the vaccination rate is, but I know in Canada...
I think China is also very pretty high. Like, they did it so quickly.
Really?
Yeah, it's really quick.
I know that, like, my friend in Canada, she got her first dose, but then she can't get her second dose until September because they don't have much many vaccines.
Yeah, honestly, the vaccines that are... Like, the countries that have... Okay, but China is still at 10%, but they've already given 2.75 billion doses.
Oh, wow. And
791 million people are fully vaccinated. Just because, I mean, China is a lot bigger.
Like, yeah.
The population. Yeah. It's the highest. Oh, India also vaccinated a lot of people, but they also have a big population.
Mm-hmm.
I think the U.S., China... And probably the UK are the ones who have vaccinated relatively more people.
I know back in, like, December or something last year, like, the UK already lifted the mask mandate outdoors. Like, they only had to wear masks indoors. But, yeah, I mean, let's talk about vaccination, because I feel like that's a huge thing as well in this whole COVID-19 situation. I think that before COVID, to be honest, like, I didn't know what an anti-vaxxer was or, like, an anti-vax stance. Yeah, because it's, like, we don't talk about vaccinations in that way in Asia. I think it's not made that politicized. And I was really confused when people started talking about that rhetoric.
Yeah. I think... I remember when I was a kid, there would literally be, like, I don't know, like, medical team who come to the school to vaccinate the kids.
Right, yeah, you would get vaccinated in the school. Mm-hmm. There would be, like, a whole day.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So, I think vaccination hesitation wasn't really a thing growing up. Because, you know, like, as a kid, we just do whatever my parents told me to do. They're like, if they're okay with it, then I'm okay with it. I'm not scared of needles.
Yeah, I mean, you trust whatever your parents, like, say is the best for you, right, as a kid. And wait, we should, like, define anti-vaxxer for people who don't know what that means. So according to the Oxford Learner's Dictionary, an anti-vaxxer is a person who is opposed to vaccination, especially a parent who does not wish to vaccinate their child because they believe it could be harmful. And so the typical, like, reason, I guess, like, the most well-known reason that people say is that they think that vaccinations lead to autism, just in general. And this was because, like, a medical doctor back in the day called Andrew Wakefield, he said that there was a possible link between vaccination and autism in children. And he published it in a scientific journal, even though his research was actually, like, fake. And he, like, tweaked information to suit his hypothesis. And so I feel like that was, like, the start of when people started having this notion of, like, okay, vaccines cause autism. And this is a very interesting topic for me because I actually grew up... You know how we were talking about, like, you just follow whatever your parents do as a kid?
Yeah.
And that's kind of your whole life? And I actually grew up not getting vaccinated in school, even in school, because, like, my parents just, like, would get a doctor's note from our personal doctor. We had, basically, our family does Chinese medicine and homeopathy, which is, like, the natural way of healing. I don't know if you've heard of homeopathy, but you don't, like, my family chooses not to use Western medicine. And so every, like, vaccination thing in school, I just, like, always sat out and, like, always had a doctor's note. Even with, like, college, I also, like, got exempt from getting vaccinated because I hadn't always had a family doctor and stuff. And I think it is a very privileged way of what is the word? Like, it's a very, like, privileged position that I, like, my family gets to choose what medicinal route we want to go, because homeopathy and like Chinese medicine, it can get expensive. Like Chinese herbs are freaking expensive.
They're really expensive.
Western medicine is expensive, but it's like the
effective, it's like the short term
solution,
right? But then Chinese medicine is like things that you have to like keep eating for like I don't know however long.
Yeah,
so it takes, it's like a very long treatment.
Exactly.
So it adds up.
Even like a consultation for what Chinese medicine is really expensive versus like if you went to hospital if you were sick, like it's not as, even though I mean Hong Kong healthcare has its own issues. Yeah, so that's why I, like, when COVID vaccines came out, it was a very interesting decision for me as well in terms of, like, vaccination hesitancy and, like, doing what my parents wanted me to do. And it was hard because, like, a lot of people around me here in the U.S., like, being anti-vax is very politicized. And, I mean, I didn't know what it was, right? And but then I don't get vaccines. And so it was a really tough, like, conversation. Like a lot... It was really weird talking to people about it because a lot of people, well, everyone that I know grew up in the scientific, like, medical realm, and everyone was very, very willing to get the vaccine, which is not a bad thing. And so I was just, like, kind of in the middle because I think that once you say that, oh, I have vaccine hesitancy, people are like, oh, are you anti-vax? And they, like, make assumptions about you. Even though I'm sure a lot of people are anti-vax, but for me, like, not knowing this term and, like, not growing up here and always having a different rhetoric to vaccinations in Hong Kong, it was just really awkward conversations. And not knowing the political, like, backing of what it means to not, like, distrust in vaccines. I wouldn't say I distrust in vaccines, not in the conspiracy realm. It's just that I don't know much about it. And so I really had to do my research and stuff, but I think there is some sort of middle ground when it comes to vaccinations. And I think that there often isn't much room for conversation. There's a lot of assumption making. And I actually talked to some people, like, individually about, like, how I was feeling hesitant. And a lot of people understood, like, my stance as well. Like, a lot of people who are very, very willing to get vaccinated also, like, had vaccine hesitancy. And so I think it's not as black and white as people make it seem sometimes. But, yeah, it's an interesting topic, I think, for us not coming from, like, not growing up here.
Yeah. I think, like, what you talked about, the polarization of both sides, I think it's a very, like, I don't know, like, what's the word? It's a very real thing that prevent people from understanding each other, like, whether it's anti-mask or anti-vaxxer, because people, like, they can literally get canceled because of it. And I honestly, like, personally, I don't really support cancel culture. I feel like we should educate one another, and I feel like vaccine hesitancy is valid, but it should come from a standpoint where, like, it stemmed from truth, not because of conspiracy theories. If that makes sense.
Yeah, you know? I agree.
Like, if you're anti-vaccination because you're seeing things on TikTok about being magnetized or other type of conspiracy theory, then, you know, like, there are some education or information digging you should be doing yourself.
Exactly.
And not trusting those false information.
Yeah.
But if you have all the, like, scientific data, information within you, and you're still hesitant to get vaccinated, I feel like people should still have the freedom to make their own decision, because, you know, like, vaccine, I mean, like, it's not 100% effective. Mm-hmm. It's true. And
it is very...
The fact that it rolled out so quickly.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Especially for the COVID one, is also another thing that people worried about. So I feel like those kind of worries are valid.
Yeah, I agree. I think that, like, there, to a certain point, you need to do your own scientific research. And, like, mm-hmm. just speaking from personal experience, I think it was a battle between, you know, your parents want the best for you. They wouldn't ever lead you astray. They won't, like, want tell you to beware of something if they knew that it was mm-hmm. bad. But I think up to a certain point, like, you need to make those decisions for yourself versus, like, just blindlessly listening to what your parents think. You can appreciate and accept their opinion, but at the end of the day, like, you're making this decision on your own. And, like, when I was actually doing my research, I really wanted to look at research and opinions from both sides, like, why people aren't getting the vaccine versus mm-hmm. why people are getting the vaccine. And to be honest, like, I found nothing when I would type in, like, why people aren't getting the vaccine or scientific research of why the vaccine is bad. There was nothing. All the research was scientific evidence that the vaccine was safe and effective. And I was like, so I told George, I was like, I'm doing my research and there is literally nothing about how the vaccine is, like, bad scientifically. And he was like, well, maybe because it's not bad. And I was like, you're mm-hmm, right. Mm-hmm. So I think that vaccine hesitancy is valid, but to a certain... No, it's always valid. But I think to a certain point, people just have to do their own research and mm-hmm. make the best choice for themselves. And, mm-hmm. I mean, even, like, in Hong Kong, right? To be honest, like, not... I probably only know, like, five people who have been vaccinated.
Yeah. It's also... Yeah, I think in that sense, it's also very interesting, right? You think that, you know, because we're a collectivist society, we'll be more willing to get vaccinated. But in reality, it's not a lot of people in Hong
That's Kong. That's so ironic.
Wants to get vaccinated. But, okay, I will say, though, from what I've been hearing from my, like, relatives, not a lot of them got vaccinated. And not only... Yes, I've heard the news, like, at the beginning of the when the vaccination first started, like, a lot of the news focused on death, like, people dying mm-hmm. after getting vaccinated. But at the end of, like, each piece, they would be like, oh, however, there's no link between, like, vaccination and the death was found.
Yeah.
However, when you report those things, like, what people... think is like, oh my gosh, it has to be the vaccine.
You know what they say, though? They're like, as of currently, we cannot find a link.
Yeah.
So it's like, but as if they'll find up. I know, it's like, as if, like, if you don't have concrete evidence, don't say it. Like, no, when I was in Hong Kong, I was reading the news, like, that was when the vaccines were first rolling out, and a lot of them were reporting on deaths. But it's also, like, if you look at the statistics, how many people, say, like, in the U.S., a lot of people have gotten mm-hmm. vaccinated, how many people have actually died after they got the vaccine? And those chances are so rare. Add on to the actual, like, pre-existing conditions that those individuals already had.
It's just, well, I mean, not saying that their lives doesn't matter, right?
Oh, no.
Their deaths still matter, but... I don't know. I think this is a very tricky topic in terms of, you know, like, how do you balance disclosing information that you think mm-hmm. the public should know versus, you know, like, the impact that it will make on people. Because I do think it's important to, like, report those things, like, just so the public is aware of it. But is there a way to report it that, you know, like, you, the public will understand, like...
Yeah.
You know, like, there's no clear link
it's between the two. It's hard because, like, I know on the news, even if they're like, okay, this person died after getting the vaccine, they do say that. If they have pre-existing conditions, they do say that. Oh, but this person had, like, a heart condition or something.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
People focus on... But then
the people who are hearing it already... and also, another thing is a deep distrust in the government, I think. Not only the Hong Kong government, but also the Chinese government. I think.
Yeah, there's...
So there are three types of vaccine that are available.
Well, only two now.
Is the,
yeah,
no, actually,
two now.
Two types. Yeah. The Sinovac biotech is made in China, and also...
The BioNTech one.
Oh, and also another one, the BioNTech one, who is made in collaboration with the German drug manufacturer.
I actually don't know.
It's if also...
It's like...
It's China and German, right?
Yeah.
I think so.
I think it's different from what we have in the U.S.
It's different. Like, both of them are different. I think the Sinovacs, they use, like, traditional vaccine technology that we've always been using for, like, previous vaccines. But for BioNTech, use, like, mRNA technology, which is a new one. And I think there are people who are hesitant about, like, that new technology, too.
Yeah.
But the Sinovac one.
Most of the people I know who got vaccinated, though, got the BioNTech one.
BioNTech one.
Because they don't trust China.
Yeah, okay, yeah. That's the deeper issue there, because people don't trust made in China stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I think the protest has a lot to do with it. And also just, like, I guess, I don't know, like, growing up, we've been seeing so many, like, made in China things that are second, like, the quality is not as good.
There's always been, like, a rift between Hong Kong and China, especially mainland China, I feel like. Like, unspoken, like, not distrust, just unspoken assumptions, but...
Honestly, it's racism.
Yeah.
It's I don't know. Race is not the actual
word. I don't know what the word would be. I don't know what
national,
the
word would be. I don't know.
Dislike.
Yeah, because we're both, like, Chinese, but we discriminate each other.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I think that's the biggest reason why people are unwilling. And also because there's, like,
no
really
cases.
No urgency. No sense of urgency, because the cases has been so low. And then people, like, oh, why would I risk my life?
Which is,
when there's not really necessary.
Which is hard, because so is Hong Kong just never going to open up ever again? But I understand, like, if I was in Hong Kong, I probably wouldn't get vaccinated either. Like, I don't think I would, just because there's no need. There really isn't any need. There's, like, no cases.
Yeah. Well, but then at least some companies are doing something about it, which is they're having, like,
there's a raffle
giveaway.
the big prize is an apartment.
Yeah, it was a $10 million, yeah, Timan, right? That's $10 million Hong Kong dollars.
Apartment complex. Yeah. The US is doing stuff like that too. I think that actually the rates did go up after that a little bit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But oh my god, I was hearing on the news that people were getting wrongly jabbed. They were getting, like, injected with, like, wrong vaccines in Hong Kong, like a different one.
Oh, there was, like, one.
Was it one? Yeah, it was a few people.
It was a few people. No, like, some people got, like, three doses of, like, I don't know, like, two is, like, Sinovac and then one BioNTech too.
Oh my god.
I don't
Come
know
on,
why
people.
They did it.
That's not the vaccine's fault, though. That's, like, the healthcare worker's fault.
Apparently, they have more antibodies, though. I'm glad, like, that they're okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a very long rant about
it. I know. I expected this episode to be a long one. Because there's a lot.
Yeah.
There's a lot to talk about.
Yeah.
But stay safe, everyone. We're nearing the end of it here in the U.S. I hope so.
I really hope so. Like, I'm always so paranoid of the new strain of virus. I just have this feeling that...
So am I.
It's gonna come back.
I know. I, like...
But finger crossed it doesn't.
I've been trying to resume normal life and normalcy. But at the same time, I, like, don't want to let myself become too normal. Like, I still need to be cautious. Which is, everyone should still be cautious, you know? It's scary. I was watching a TikTok and this girl was like, oh yeah, I got fully vaccinated, returned to normalcy, and then she got COVID.
Hot girl summer.
And then she got COVID. So I think...
Oh, what?
I know. I think that we should be normal, and do the things that we used to do, but at the same time, there should be to a certain extent. Like, we should still be cautious about people around us, as well as ourselves. Like, I'm not going to put myself
get herd immunity.
I'm not going to put myself in a situation where I know the chance of, like, getting COVID is high, like, going to a crowded club without masks or something like that.
Oh, God. Okay, I've been seeing, like, TikToks of people going to clubs.
Yeah.
Maybe I shouldn't go to the rave in August.
I hope it'll be better in August.
Yeah.
Just wear a mask the whole time. I don't know.
Well, it's a rave thing to wear a mask too, though.
Oh, okay. And just like try to be away from people. Except for people you know.
Oh, it's hard in the rave. There's no
way. See, that's what's scary because I'm like, I don't know. Even though I'm protected, like, there's still a chance of getting COVID. I don't know if any of you are anti-vax. Like, who, I don't, you know? Like, are they making you get vaccinated before you go?
I don't know. I didn't get any details yet. But we'll see. We'll see.
A lot of unknowns.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well.
Yeah. Well, conclusion is that, I don't know what the conclusion is. Conclusion is that COVID is still very real. Don't be a Karen. Hong Kong people aren't getting vaccinated.
Don't be a Chad.
Don't be a Chad. Wait, is
Chad for
the guy dudes, version? Right? I don't know. It might be.
Chad.
And just protect people around you. Stay safe. It's a hard time. Take care of your mental health. And it is totally valid to have vaccine hesitancy.
Mm-hmm. Do your research.
Do your research.
And make the decision.
Yes. Well.
Okay. See you next time.
Bye.
Outro music.